Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
You are listening to the True Warrior Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for another great episode of True Warrior Football. And like I said, I've been teasing this a little bit through social media, and this week, this is my 50th show, and I always want to do something special when it comes to these milestones, because you never know if you're going to be able to reach certain limits or certain points in life. And then with something that I'm so passionate about, I'm very blessed to have been able to say I've done 50 shows of my podcast so far. A show that when I first started out, I wanted to tell the history of our great program and have great guests on and tell great moments of the program, as well as cover the current teams that we've had. And I've done just that so far. And I want to have on people that have great, they have great special moments in the program. And with me today, I have three special individuals. First, have current player, introduce yourself to everybody out there.
I'm Jake Wellman, number 50, O-line.
All right, O-line U, a proud representative of O-line U, is in the building. Then I had to have this special individual. He is a great coach, a great friend of mine, been a part of the program for a while. Introduce yourself to everybody here, Coach.
Hey, Coach Kidd, it's Matt Apple, been in the program 16 years.
16 years, all right, I love it. Love it. You're doing some great things over there. We'll talk about some things that you've been doing the last couple of years. And with me, I have a very special place in my heart for this gentleman, one of my all-time favorite players, regardless of position, regardless if you play offense, defense, whatever. But this guy right here, okay, a proud member of the top 50 list, he earned his way onto that list with his play. And you know what? I just knew I had to have him on this week. So introduce yourself to everybody for me, buddy.
Hey, man, it's Chris Harley. Coach D-line up here now.
Chris Harley, hey, man. Hey, guys, thank you all for coming on. Like I said, it's a very special week for me. So now here we are. We're in the middle of our season. We're doing a lot of great things so far. Jake, tell me about the season so far and how it's been for you.
It's gone by fast. People always told me that the senior season goes by faster than you think, but honestly, it's just like yesterday we were doing summer conditioning, summer practices, and now we're almost to the playoffs and in Carmel week. So it's gone by fast. It's been really just a whirlwind of excitement and just everything, whirlwind of football.
Now, has this week really, because we're coming down Carmel week this week, what have you seen on film from Carmel that has you saying, okay, we're going to really be able to get after these guys this week?
They're a solid team, honestly, especially defensively and in the box. But knowing how our O-line works and how our run game can really just be truly overwhelming and powerful for any team is where I'm really most confident. The front they run, the stunts that they run, we know that we can catch them in it and just overpower them in certain aspects.
Okay. And now let's move over to Chris here. And Chris, you have just started coming back. This is your first year coaching in the program.
Yes, sir.
Okay. After you had a fantastic career after you left here, you played at Virginia Tech for a while. Then you went on to Western Illinois and had an even better career for the Leathernecks, right?
That's what it is.
The Leathernecks. And you did some great things over there. And now you're deep into your career, and you're also, you're able to come back, move home, and you start to coach here with us. How is coaching with us so far? How has that been for you and really teaching these guys?
I mean, it's really what I came back for. I was in Atlanta for about a year.
Okay.
It's really the main reason I came back. Just want to share my knowledge with these guys, man. Just had them not make the same mistakes that I did. So that's the main thing.
All right, all right. And so do you feel like a lot of them have really listened to you so far and everything you've tried to bring to them and teach to them?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, it's all about building relationships with kids. Mm. And I feel like I've done that throughout the time I've been here.
So, yeah.
You know, I have a lot to teach them. I'm glad they're listening.
That's really great to hear. That's really great to hear, man. So what have you seen from Carmel's offense so far that you think, okay, we're going to be able to do some good things against them defensively?
Well, it's a little difficult because the switch quarterbacks, they have you know, they're really doing freestyling offense right now, seeing what works for them. So that could be good and bad for us.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be good. I think we're going to get them up out of there tomorrow.
Let's go, man. Let's go. I love how all these guys, every team in the conference really called us out.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, yeah, you know, we can't wait to face Warren Central. We can't wait to face Warren Central. And I will admit, and Jake, I know you can attest this as well, we've taken some punches.
Oh, yeah.
We've taken some punches. Center Grove had us down. Ben Davis had us down. LN last week had us down. But you know what, man? We've taken these punches, and really we've come back hard against each and every team. We're letting people know that if you're going to face us now without, like I said, without David Bell, without Ramir Elliott, without the studs that we had on defense, like Caleb Thompson, Ron Gill, Christian Hastings, those guys, you know, we are still going to be tough because we are Warren Central, man. We're like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Chris, they thought after your junior year it was just going to be a cakewalk over us, and
No. It
wasn't. And we let them know quick, fast, and in a hurry, all right, plenty of times that it was not going to be something sweet over here, all right? So a lot of teams have really – now, they've really come to know, okay, we are going to be a force still over here. And here we are, we're 5-1 in conference right now with opportunity to really clinch or have the opportunity to share the McChampionship because Ben Davis and North Central, they still have a game against each other at the end of the season. But this is our last conference game of the year. So I'm looking forward to seeing us play tomorrow night and seeing where the team goes as we head into the playoffs. Now, Coach Apple, you guys, because you've been coaching at Creston for what, the last 5 years now?
This is my sixth back.
The sixth year back over at Creston, and you have really done a number. The last 2 or 3 years, your Creston Indians have been very impressive. And that just goes, I mean, I look at our freshman guys that we have over here now from your previous team. I'm not even going to say their names, but those are some special guys. And I know you guys just finished up your season last week and you got some special guys coming to us again. How have you been able to really mold those younger guys to be great players coming over to the high school?
Well, I think my time here back in the earlier 2000s prepared me for what Warrior football really means.
Mm-hmm.
Through Coach Willen, Coach Hart, great coaches I worked with.
Yes.
They taught me the Warren way. So when I went back to Creston to maybe rejuvenate that program and bring a little life, I brought the Warrior way back to Creston with me as far as practice plans, time practices, how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
When I was able to get Coach Williams and bring him back 3 years ago with me too, that just solidified the Warrior way.
Well, Coach Williams is just he's a special individual, man, and just outside of what he did over here, what his sons did, man, he's just he's a great individual, man. I can't say enough great things about him and how great of a coach he is.
He'll be missed for sure. He told me the other week this is going to be his last year, I think. I think he wants to go see what McKelty's got for the future and do what he wants to do as far as his, you know, life. And I think he's going to give it a break. So at the beginning of this year when I kind of coaxed him back, he told me, hey, this is going to be my last run, coach. And with Coach Opal leaving as well, our D coordinator for the last 10 years over there, he's just tremendous staff over there.
Well, that's very good, man. Like I said, the last 2 years, you guys have had some very special teams, and I see a lot of those freshman guys that were under you. I watched their games or watched their highlights, and I'm like, oh, my God, I cannot wait to see him on a Friday night The one kid, he throws such a pretty ball. And so many of those guys are tough, man. I don't know. Was it hard trying to get them to all buy into what you were teaching at such a young age?
Yeah, a little bit. They weren't the easiest team to coach. My first year back was David's group.
Really?
Tally, okay. Carl Purnell, Caleb. That group was, they were my first group back when I went back to Creston. And this year's seniors were my second group back at Creston.
Wow.
This group of seniors right here only got scored on one time the whole football year, and that was in the last game against Raymond Park. They never got scored on throughout the whole season. So I knew they were dogs when defense came around. We had trouble moving the ball. I think I see a little bit of similarities this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes big plays happen and whatever. Drives are drives. Points are points. So this group coming in now, I don't know, Coach Kidd, you can tell me if there's a difference between winning and not losing, because these kids don't want to lose. They just don't want to lose, and they're not going to lose. They've had their backs to the wall, 7th grade, 8th grade. I mean, they have dominated all comers, and I believe they're just doing the same thing again this year.
What I think is, and this goes back to the interview I had last week, we as a program have had a lot of history of guys that, you know what, winning, it wasn't everything. It was the only thing. Like, Who wants to lose? Who wants to work all week, okay, preparing, going through practice, going through drills, going through the film sessions, and then coming up short on Friday nights or whenever your game time? I mean, I hate that. I mean, just going through as a coach during my time, I hated going through all that stuff knowing, okay, man, we got this great game plan. We got want to execute. Our guys are going to do this. And then we get to the final stage, and we come up short. Like, I hate that. And as Chris, I'm sure you could attest to this too. You don't want to step on that field and come away with an L, do you?
Definitely not.
Definitely. And Jake, I'm sure you there have been moments this year where you guys felt like you were prepared and ready to go, and then all of a sudden things just don't turn out the way you wanted to, right?
Definitely.
And matter of fact, let's go back to you, Jake, a little bit. Talk to me about this past week's game and how everything, because like I said, we were down, and for folks that haven't seen the game from last week, we were down 14 points at halftime. It was the third time, actually, that we were down, third time we were down at half when, like, 7 or 14 points or more at halftime. And really, what were you thinking going into halftime there?
I just knew we were going to win. It was just a matter of executing when we came out from halftime. That's what was going on in the first half. We were having our assignments there. Everything was up, and we just weren't executing to the fullest. And halftime came. We had to get a wake-up call and came out, executed. The rest is history.
And when we came out of half and we executed, and Kobe got that long run, that great touchdown run. And as I'm watching it online, I'm like, oh my God, he runs right up the middle, and they can't get him. They can't take him down. He looks like a mix of Desmond Tardy in the 03 state championship game and Cam Newton against LSU when he was at Auburn, and just dragging guys down. Like, I've never seen that from him particularly. I'm like, oh my God, this dude is about to take over his game.
All right.
And like that, he's shown great flashes and moments throughout the season like that. But when he had that run, did you knew, okay, this is a spark that we needed?
Yeah, definitely. We just needed something to really just set it off, and Kobe did that for us. I mean, we knew that once Kobe was on page and had that confidence going, then we were really just going to be unstoppable.
Really? That's good to hear, man. That's good to hear. And then when it came down to it on the final drive, I'm thinking, first of all, Chris, the defense, you guys, even though we gave up the two big plays.
Listen.
After those two plays, man. We really
LN one. They should have saved that for the playoffs. You do a jet pass and then you line up in wing T, which you ain't did all year. I guess you just really wanted to win that game.
They really truly,
you know,
they sold out
just for
all the way out. And here's
good job. You had two plays. Wow.
And here's a really crazy thing. Ever since they beat us my senior night in 2005, we've won every game since then.
So that's
13, coming into this year, that's 13 straight years that we've won a game. And most of those games, we've won by 10 points or more.
Yes.
At each level.
And that's another crazy thing is, like, they really, I think, was last week their homecoming too, I think? Because they had a big crowd there.
It was something, their pink game or something like that.
They really sold out to, like, okay, this is going to be the year we beat Warren. They did this. The quarterback, I think it was McCauley was his name. He was pretty good. He was pretty good. Another big, tall guy, can throw the ball a little bit well. But, man, I've never seen them have that fight in the last 10 years or so. And I'm like, oh, my God, these guys really want this tonight.
Yep.
And then they get that, and then they don't really do nothing else the entire game.
Second half score, 9 points.
9 points on 3 field goals.
Yep.
We give the offense back the ball after holding them to a field goal because they started to drive once a little bit, and we had to tighten up.
Yep.
Defense had to tighten up for us a little bit. And then, Jake, you guys have what really is, it could be, it depending on how the season goes, it could be seen as a season-defining play for you guys.
Hmm.
Like, were you thinking we were going to run the ball down, or were we going to just have to get a big pass play like what we had?
Oh, I knew we were going to have to run the ball down. That's how we've made our money all this entire season. We probably have the best receiving core in the state, but we're Warren Central, and the run game is our best friend.
Run game has been our best friend, man. And then when we got down there, I was like, okay, let's get one, because we had like 2 minutes left when we got the ball, and we got to go the entire length of the field. We had to get a touchdown. There's no field goal. This was, I think, the first time we won a game as far back as I can remember where we did not have a single point from special teams.
Hmm.
We got a field goal blocked.
And then,
the one PAT we tried.
Went for two every time.
And then we chased point after.
Yeah,
the rest of the game.
I didn't really care for that too much, but I kind of understood why they wanted to do it. But
we went back to that quarterback draw or that quarterback power they were running. And those two points, that play never got stopped all night.
And that's a thing I think a lot of our where players are getting more confident in themselves. And I've noticed from Kobe and talking with him, and he's such a great kid and very smart.
Oh, yeah.
He understands the things that he's able to do more in the game, especially in big-time moments like that, because he has a great arm, and we were talking about this before we recorded. He has a great arm, but just getting more confident in that arm and putting the passes exactly where it needs to be. And that pass to DeMarcus, man, DeMarcus came back for it and made a heck of a play, and Derek Allen came by out of nowhere with – a huge block.
LN had to have been lined up wrong, or they were disrespectful. They put a linebacker on a safety on DeMarcus.
And they've been doing poor defensive traits for a long time. I just don't understand some of these concepts that these other coaching staffs do. But, hey, you know what? It worked to our best ability, so I'm not even going to worry about that.
I feel like we're going to see them again.
Oh, yeah. Well, with them in our sectional.
I feel like it's coming.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise you if we had to go over there too.
I'm pretty sure we have them first round.
Yeah, well,
we have them first round here.
The sectional draw,
I'm pretty sure,
is coming up this week. And here's a real crazy thing: there was a post online. I'm sure I'll see if I can pull it up. There were, I think, some guys from Ben Davis, you know, they were talking about the sectional pairings and what if we seeded the tournament.
I saw that.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah, I saw that.
I want to say it's never going to happen because I just say, hey, this doesn't want to do things right. But if it does happen, this is, I think they had it as with us being like a 3 seed right now in the playoffs, Ben Davis would be a 4 seed, we'd be on the opposite sides of the bracket. So there would be an opportunity for us to have that Warren-Ben Davis state championship game, which, oh, my God, I don't even – could you imagine that, Chris?
Oh, man.
A Warren,
I would have loved it.
An east side, west side state championship game would be insane. And right now, as it is currently, Ben Davis, I think, is like sectional 5 or 6. We're in 7. So the way I believe it works out is us and Ben Davis, we would meet in semi-state.
Yep.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
And that right there is, I mean, that's just as many times when Ben Davis and Warren meet in the playoffs, it's basically the state championship game right there.
Exactly.
I mean, 2 years ago when we faced Reese Taylor and those guys, that was the best game Ben Davis had all season, and we were right there, man. Did you play at all in that game, Jake?
I did.
You did?
Man, that was a crazy game. Just came down to
a couple plays here and there, man. That's what it is. That's the thing with those great rivalries, and even this year, like I said, we were down, we came back, fought all the way back, got the lead, and it was just a couple plays here or there that they made, unfortunately, that we didn't make, that ended up being the game for us.
It's fine. We'll see him again.
Oh,
yeah,
we'll see him again.
Yeah. How were you feeling after that game?
I was mad. There's no way we should have lost that game. I feel like as much as we lost the game ourselves, I feel like it didn't help that, you know, being who we are, we had more than 11 players on the field against us, and it was one of those games, in my opinion, but I just can't wait till we see them again. I feel like we're going to really do what we do.
Yeah, really do what we do. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, here, let's take a break real quick, guys, and then we'll be able to come back and really get into the meat of this episode.
All right.
Hey, this is Chris Harley, Warrior Legend, member of the Top 50 list, and you are listening to True Warrior Football. Hey, yo, K.I.W., where we used to walk?
Quarterback, Scoochie, where we at? Right by the lever? Churches? Okay. Yeah, I used to walk around that corner, right on Flintwood.
Now we are back, and so we got this season out the way. We got everything out. My guests here are still with me, Coach Apple, Jake Willman, number 50, and the legendary Chris Harley. And now we are into the meat and potatoes of what I really want to discuss with this week's episode. And these guys, I gave Willman and Chris Harley the opportunity to talk with me a little bit about the top 50 list that I did at the beginning of the season this year. Coach Apple, did you see my top 50 list?
Oh, I saw it.
You saw it? All right, so let's go over it, because I've been wanting to have this roundtable discussion. Who knows if I'll have another one of these, but since we're still fresh off that, let's talk about it, guys. Talk to me about your issues. Who you think I should have put on? Who you think that who did you like seeing on the list and stuff like that? This, go ahead. Well, I'm gonna let you go first.
Man, for one, I agree with some of it, but there were definitely some people on there that I could see more as they were part of great teams, and that's why they got the greatness.
Well, a lot of the players, and here were the criteria. For it, because there are with us having a great program as long as this program has been around, you're going to miss some. But my criteria was this: you know, can I tell the story of our program and not mention your name?
You're going off the Hall of Fame.
If it's Hall of Fame,
Mount
stuff
Rushmore
like that.
Of Warren Central football.
Yes, if you can fit 50 faces on a mountain, yeah, that'd be it. It'd be a mountain range. Let's say that. But go ahead and finish with your statement there, Jake. Who were your big issues and stuff like that?
For one, my big issue was Hart.
Okay, Derek Hart, number 29.
Yeah, I mean, you could say he could be on the list. That's your opinion.
And that is correct.
But I don't think he deserved to be that high. I feel like he was on a team where he had the best O-line, probably one of the best in the decade. And then he also had Mr. Football in the backfield running with a broken ankle 50 times a game.
Correct.
To go win a state championship.
And one of the great things about that. Here, Coach Apple, I'll let you go.
All right, let me defend Derek Hart on that.
Oh, yes, a Derek Hart defender. I love it. I love it.
Let me tell you this. When Derek Hart, Coach Hart, Nick Hart, John Hart came in, they totally revamped the offense at Warren Central.
Correct.
I remember vividly sitting in the first offensive meeting with Nick Hart when he told everybody, the mesh offense is done and we are spreading. We're going to the spread offense starting this year, and not many people, if any at all, were in the spread in the MIC at that time.
Correct.
So when he did that, there was not another quarterback in the program who could have made that switch. Clarence wasn't ready.
No.
There just wasn't enough, with all due respect to Clarence Hayes, who's one of my favorite all-time Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Hart was the right man for the job because he was exposed to the spread offense when he got there. He knew the terminology. He knew what his brother and his dad wanted to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he was the only man for that job, and he won a state championship.
Yeah, and
so scoreboard on that.
And like I said, scoreboard indeed. And I like I've said to so many people that have had an issue, I think that was the one when I made the list, and a lot of it I knew was going to have a lot of controversy with some. I knew this one was going to be the top controversy because I've never met a player in Warren Central history that is can be so, I hate this word, hated, but he is probably the most hated and most loved by, he's most hated by so many and loved by very few. The players that knew him and everything like that, that were around him at the time, nobody could say a bad word about him. It's the people that weren't on the team or weren't around him and stuff like that, or had issues with the parent or with the father and his brother, the coaching staff. You know, I could understand that.
Nick Hart was an innovator.
And you can see what the good things that he's doing down there at Gibson Southern right now and how successful they've been in the 7-8 years he's been a head coach down there. So he was obviously on to something. And when you take a program like ours, where it's been run heavy, we've had athletic quarterback after athletic quarterback, you know, come in and do great things for us. And when you stick in a scrawny 6'2", 6'3" white kid like Nick Hart or Derek Hart into the quarterback position, and you have him tossing the ball around inaccurately, you know, from time to time, he had his faults.
He could have used a few more receivers too.
He definitely,
not trying to downplay, he could have used a few more because we came from a run dominant offense that did not prepare receivers.
Like,
and I was part of the freshman program, so I can attest to that. We blocked 80-90% of the practices with the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So when then all of a sudden you come to an open offense, it's hard to expect receivers to know how to get open, get separation, run correct routes. It was tough. I'm just saying this, kid. There was no other quarterback in the program at that time that could have made the switch. Could have made the switch from midline to the spread.
Now, that's all good and all.
Mm-hmm.
But you know I got K for my D-line guys.
Okay, D-line. And here's a really great thing when I'm making the list here. And
this is ridiculous. One, you only have three of us on there.
I have four, technically.
Four.
Four defensive linemen. We have so many great offensive linemen to D linemen. I'm sorry. I hated to do that, but when I looked at the list, I'm like, oh my God, how do we have so many great offensive linemen? And not say we don't have nearly as many great defensive linemen, but my God, there are so many more better offensive linemen in our defensive lineman program's history. I'm sorry.
One, you have Jeff Boyd.
Uh-huh.
38?
I believe so. Let me pull up the list here one more time here.
Kid.
Jeff Boyd was a monster.
We all looked up to Jeff Boyd.
Yes.
We all looked at him play. I was in eighth grade.
Jeff Boyd was 38.
I was in eighth grade, 06, their senior year.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's who I want to be like. Me. So, why, kid? 38.
Who are the other D linemen on there?
The other
Leon
one,
Sheldon,
Chris Harley, Jeff Boyd, and Max Hernandez.
You don't have Josh Posley on there.
I thought you put Max on as a kicker.
Thank you. You don't have Josh Posley on there. You don't have Elijah Jones.
Darnell Smith.
Yes. Those were all really great guys. When I think about it, I was like, oh.
Darian Howard.
Darian Howard was, right. he would have been like Darian Howard would have been bottom 100 if I'd have did 100, or bottom like 90 to 100 if I was doing him like that. He just wasn't there. But Jeff Boyd was a truly phenomenal talent.
That's my gripe with you. Like I said Elijah too. That's my gripe with you.
Would you have rather me put you and him, switch him? And had him at 20 and had you at 38.
I don't know about that. One, I was a little low, kid. I said top 15. I was a little low now. You know, the recruiting did blow up because of Chris Hartley.
Hey, you were a mock. Let's see here, okay? Of the guys that were in front of you that played before you, okay? McKelty, Ramirez, Sheldon.
I understand Sheldon.
David Bell.
I understand that.
That's four or five guys that came after you. If they don't play here, you're higher. You're top 15. Okay, so it is what it is. All right. It is what it is.
Okay.
And here's the thing going back to Jeff Boyd. When I looked at what Jeff Boyd was able to do, and there were people that got on me for not having older guys from the 90s, or guys that Benny Baines, Chris White, yeah, guys from the 2013.
Your list was top 50 from 2000 on.
What? No. I had.
Well, except for Jeff George.
I think I had about 15 guys on the list that were outside of the 2000 era.
Okay.
And here's the thing. We've had so much great football. I feel like those guys from those other ages were good. I just feel like we've had guys that surpassed them.
I got you.
And
competition might be a little better now.
Yeah, competition's a little bit better. The game's evolved. We have so much talent. And like I said, Chris, you were truly heading, at the end of your career, you were a better football player than a guy you idolized. In my eyes,
I'll give you that. I'm just humble. I show respect to guys that come before me.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And here's the thing. I said this before. I wish I could have fit 60 to 70 names in 50. I wish I wanted to do an honorable mention list, but I feel like that was a cop out.
Yeah, you can't have that. Nobody wants the after ran.
Yeah, nobody wants to be all. Oh, well, like, there were some guys, and one guy reached out to me. He gave me his stats, and he convinced, like, man, I probably should have put you on there, but the reason I didn't have him on was because the program and everything can be talked. We could talk about the history of our program and not mention your name. Unfortunately, as sad as that is, it just is what it is. Like, I hated doing that for so many guys, but when you had a criteria, you had to stay in 50 and those boundary lines, then it is what it is. Now, if I were to do. Let's say if I were to do one day, maybe a two-man deep offense defense, that's where I think a lot of people will really start to see things like how I would build a football team with our guys.
Right.
Like if I were to take a quarterback or a running back or something like that, or who would I take? Where would I stick them at? Who would be my offensive lineman? Because right now, if I had a number one overall pick, I'm picking J.O.
Oh, now I understand J.O.
For O-line?
Yes.
I understand that.
Yeah.
No one, because
J.O. was ridiculous.
Yes. Yes. And this is partially the reason why I want to have you on, Jake, today, because you have been a guy that's been in youth leagues for so long. You've come up around those older teams and stuff like that. So when I say a name like J.O., you know how serious and how nasty of a guy that he was. I mean, my guess last week, He made a strong case. He could probably be the greatest player in school history over a guy like Jeff George and Darren Evans and Jeremy Finch.
J.O. was that good. I got to give that to you.
Yes.
I got to give that
to you. I mean, he coached you a little bit when you were here.
He did. He coached the offensive line.
Yeah.
When I was here, what was that, my sophomore, junior year, I think, yeah.
No, it was your senior.
Senior year.
Yeah,
it was your senior. You're right.
And so, like it's so many great guys. I mean, when I look at the list here, in the top 25, all right, the top 25, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 offensive linemen in the top 25.
Yeah.
And there's 2 defensive linemen, you and Sheldon Day.
Yeah.
Like that's just so crazy when you think about what we were able to do during those times where those guys were here. Like, oh, my God. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I mean, Sheldon, people say I should have had Sheldon higher. I'm like, where do I put him higher? Do I put him?
Yeah, where do you put him above? That's a good.
Well, Sheldon continued to get better.
Yeah, he did.
Yes. On the freshman field, he got better towards the end of the freshman season. Yeah. But at the beginning of the freshman season, when he came out of Creston, he was a rotator.
Yep.
He was a rotator. He was a guy who worked on his craft, stayed in the weight room, and continued.
His sophomore year, he didn't play.
Yeah, and just continued to get better.
Junior year, I made that sacrifice. I went to Knowles, got triple teamed all year.
You did.
Sheldon went off. Sheldon went off.
And I talked about that Center Grove game where he blocked. Oh, my God.
He blacked out. He blacked out.
And what did you tell your coach when you saw him?
It was in the locker room. I'm a censor what I said, but he was in the locker room at halftime. Sheldon's over there. He's crying, pacing back and forth, rocking back and forth. I was like, Coach, he's blacked out. He's bawling. Like, what got in him today? And Coach Clark was like, I don't know. Leave him alone. I was like, yeah. So that was a good game for Sheldon. He had about 15 tackles that game. Goodness gracious.
I mean, at that position, it's just crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Probably one of the great games from a defensive lineman. And I just said to you, man, I think your best game, the game that sticks out the most to me is your Franklin Central game. Well, I've talked to you about that on a show before. And we just had Marquise Cross have an absolute monster of a game this past week against LN.
I told Marquise when I first got here, it was after a Center Grove game when he made that huge strip sack.
Yes.
I was like, Marquise, if you keep playing like this, you're going to be a legend. Like, you're going to be in the conversation with us.
Absolutely.
You're going to be a legend. And he has played like that the entire year. That last drive where he had them two back-to-back sacks, ridiculous. Marquise blacked out. He's playing out of his mind right now.
Really, the whole defensive line on that last drive. I mean, you guys are just determined, like, these guys aren't even going to get close.
That's what it is, and that's what I told. That's what I've been telling them all year. Me and Coach Clark and Coach Engel, hey man, it starts with this group right here. It starts with the D line
and the trenches.
In the trenches, D line and O line. It starts with us. If we play well, the entire team plays well. We play with energy. We practice well. We do everything right. The entire team follows our lead, and that's what they. In the past couple weeks, that's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
So
I like the discipline this team plays with. They never seem to get rattled. They stay real calm. They still real even-keeled. I see teams that come in to play us make bad penalties. I saw Center Grove make the allegedly, team that's the most disciplined and what have you come in and make two or three bad personal fouls in the game.
Yep.
Two to keep driving lives for us that allowed us to go down and score points. So the discipline, which is a tribute to Coach Harley and the rest of the staff, the discipline that this team shows and the even-keel that you guys play with is commendable, from the outside, I love watching them.
Well, you gotta have that, and even last year we didn't do a lot of, we didn't have a lot of those. What is it?
Nail biters.
Yeah, nail biters or knucklehead penalties is what I'm trying to think of. Like Coach Apple, I text you earlier this week. We're huge Bear fans, Bear Down, and the penalty that we had on the punt in the game against the Raiders, I mean, that was it was just a horrible penalty for us that ended up having the Raiders keep the drive going and the momentum, and they ended up going down and scoring, and we just don't recover from that. We didn't have plays like that last year. We've really kept those penalties down really this year. The only one penalty I could think of so far this year is a penalty from the game that we've already talked about. We're not going to go back to.
Right.
So.
I learn from that.
Yeah, and you learn from those, and hopefully you see those at practice, and you say, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to know our snap counts and stuff like that, and we're just not going to put ourselves in that position to make mistakes that could possibly cost us the game.
Can't do that at Carmel tomorrow night either.
No.
Yeah, when you go into Carmel, Chris and I know from playing there many times, it's a different animal.
It is.
You don't know what's going to happen exactly there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a call on Jay Shine there when the ball landed in the long jump pit that far out of bounds, and we're getting, to an extent, a fourth, Probably cost the best worn team I've ever been a part of championship that year. Yep. You just don't know. You got to keep your cool tomorrow night. You got to keep your cool through November in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you got to continue to play smart football. And I think this team's a state champion.
Yes, 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 yes. Now, Jake, who you already talked about who with Derek Hart you didn't really agree with. Who did you agree with that was on the list? It's like, okay, I can see why this guy right here is on the list.
Definitely the top three for sure. Like Jeremy Finch and Darren Evans definitely need to be on that list.
If you thought I was going to make a list of top 50 players and not put those two on there, you're crazy.
I already knew, but I remember just being like really young, coming to the games and watching those guys like, man, this is better than NFL football. Like that's really what, in my opinion, those teams of the early 2000s really brought the community together and really emphasized the true East Side spirit. And those guys are the main pieces of those teams.
I feel like it was so special, that time and that era. And when I look back at it now as a younger me, I have a hard time believing that we were able to play together at one time. It was almost like I said, it was like a cheat code. Like, you cannot tell me a group of guys like that where you have a Desmond Tardy followed by a Dexter Taylor followed with a guy like Darren Evans and Jeremy Finch or a Josh Bailey or so many of the other great guys were able to play together at one time and have those guys not be successful. And have those teams not be considered some of the all-time greats at any level at any time in state history.
Right.
Like, those guys, like, teams were literally beaten before the game even started because they just couldn't handle us. Like, so, I don't know.
Team Jacks. Some people were done at Team Jacks.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I got one to say.
Go ahead.
You were a little low on Tim Kimbrough.
I can understand that.
Tim was the only guy at Warren that I ever had Coach Will and Coach Jackson blow whistle on the freshman field quick on. I mean, he was beating up our own team. And during team time, inside run, whatever drills we were running, Kimbrough was absolutely demolishing our own guys. So I remember telling Coach Willen at the start of practice, hey, when we go team tonight, you hit that whistle quick. If not, Kimbrough's going to knock out half our offense.
Oh, yeah.
He was absolutely dominant his junior and senior years on the field. I mean, took over. I thought he should have been Mr. Football.
Yes.
I really do.
And here's a crazy thing. The guy
29, though, kid?
What? No, he's 27.
Oh, okay. That makes a difference.
I know, right? He's 28. He's a guy, like, Tim Kimbrough would literally run through a brick wall for you to make a tackle.
But the most chill dude off the field. Wore his little glasses, his little collared shirt. Chill. I say, hi, coach, how you doing? Then you get on the field, it was like unreal. That guy was an animal out there.
I mean, Georgia doesn't need to come to Indiana to get a linebacker. They can go all throughout the South and get guys. They came to Indiana to get Tim Kimbrough because there was nobody else in the country like Tim Kimbrough. And maybe he did. Maybe I do have him too low. But I mean, I have him behind Nick Temple, and I have him behind Andre Hatchett. Hatchett
was an animal too.
Yeah, I mean,
he was a super Hatchett's freak.
Hatchett's a little low on the list.
I mean, your top five linebackers in school history, in my opinion, are Brick, Hatchett, Nick Temple, and Tim Kimbrough. And then I don't even who would be my fifth one. I think my fifth one would be Coach Massey. Those are. Once again, when you're making a list of top 50, I can't just have it be – if I were to do the top 50 and have the top five or six guys be all defensive players, they'd have ran me out the building.
Oh, yeah.
As they should have. Red belt.
But no.
Mine, what I think you got right, Sheldon Day. You know, I'm a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. Defensive guy. Now, I'm so proud of him, what he's doing right now. He did the opposite of every mistake that I made. And that's what I'm so proud of him by. Like, so Sheldon Day, where was he at, 9?
He was at 8.
Eight. That's a great
place. No, he was 9. He was 9, my fault. He was 9.
Great place for him. The guy was dominant. Like I said, my senior year, I sacrificed. I played nose. He went to 3. I was getting triple team. They was leaving him all alone to make plays. I'm glad he got as recruited as big as he did. did everything that he should have. Proud of him for that, man.
And he's another guy. Here's guys that come close to winning winning Mr. Football's their senior year that should have won it. It's Sheldon Day. Uh-huh. He came in behind Gunnar Keel, and you see where their careers have gone.
Right.
Shakir Bell. There's no need to even go any further than that. Jewel Hampton should have won at least running back Mr. Football his senior year. He came in behind. They gave it to the Franklin Central running back. And
David Bell.
Yeah, David Bell. I mean, I was watching the Trinity game last night. And this is something that I'm trying to do. I'm gonna put some of our former games, past game. I'm gonna put that on YouTube for guys. Put that on the True Warrior Football page so people can have that to go back and look at those games. I'm sitting here watching our game against Trinity and one. I'm like, oh my God, how in the world did we win this game? Like, they have all these big junk plays. We're missing tackles. They're breaking off long runs, and we're down 20 points twice.
Number 4 and number 21.
And oh my God, like Ramir Elliott, oof. The man couldn't be stopped.
Ramir saved me on that last play. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, go ahead and talk about it, Jake. Go ahead and talk about it.
The mid screen that we ran with David, where he scored the game winning touchdown. Great play call. They had moved me from my right tackle position to left tackle for the first time in my career. And if you've ever played any offensive line, it's kind of like being a right-handed batter in baseball and then being told you have to go bat left-handed. So everything is backwards. Your pass sets, your run sets, they're all different. So they put me on a top 10 DN in the nation on the game-winning play. I overset. He gets me inside, and Ramir comes in and cleans up my block, and David wins the game.
That's incredible, man. Yeah. That's absolutely incredible.
Them two were legit, man.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Ever since we were little.
Especially David Bell. It just looks so effortless.
Was Ramir a Crescent kid?
Yeah.
No, he was Raymond Park.
Raymond Park?
Right.
Okay. Come on now. That was the best school of all time.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Come on now.
Rangers? It hadn't put out the most dogs.
Come on, Rangers.
Hey.
It's the Indians. I think we all know that. The Indians gives Rangers? The dogs, man. The mark comes
from my Stony Brook Redskins, all right. We weren't too good my sophomore, my seventh and eighth grade year. But my eighth grade year, we won two games against Raymond Park and Crescent. So that's all I can say.
Hey, shout out real quick to Stony Brook going undefeated the last 2 years with their seventh and eighth grade teams. Yeah, Coach Murray doing a great job over
ooh,
there.
Ooh, okay. So we got another.
Oh, yeah, they did go back-to-back undefeated. Mick won the championship both years. So Coach Murray doing some good things over there at Stony Brook. There's some more cats coming from there, too.
See, I love our youth league and where we are going in the future. Like I said, man, if we take care of business now this year, Jake, and you guys lead the team to where we need to be, and I think about what we have coming down the pipe. I see the guys that are playing for us now that are freshmen. Oh my God! I had to hold off and fix myself here because I get anxious, I get excited because I love seeing the future of our program and seeing it be so bright.
Yep.
Like my guy Jaden Perkins.
Oh man.
Woo!
I love Jaden, and Jaden doesn't really understand.
I don't think he knows how good.
That's why I'm trying to get it out of him right now. I think he's going to have a really good game tomorrow.
Yes. Ooh.
Jaden's going to do something tomorrow.
Kid, I'll be interested to see how the freshmen do with the chance to win the mix Saturday morning at Carmel.
Uh-huh.
That's a big game.
It's a huge game for them.
It's a huge game. Anytime you got, what do we want to know who wins the mix? Varsity football, freshman football.
Yeah.
Who wins the mix? That way they know who's going and who's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can go out here and you guys will take care of the mix tomorrow night and then they take care of it Saturday morning,
yep.
I think that just solidifies where we are. We just reload.
I think when I look back on how I came into the program, I knew we had something special because we had certain guys coming back that were going to be sophomores and juniors, but I also knew that our freshman class in 2003 had went undefeated. That was a class that had Darren Evans and Jeremy Finch.
Yep.
And then our JV team also went undefeated. And so far this year, JVs, they've had one loss, freshman so far undefeated, and we have some great talent right now on the varsity level that are very young. They're doing some great things. So, like I said, I'm very excited about the future future. I'm not looking towards the future yet, but I'm very excited for what it holds for us.
Oh, yeah.
Agree.
Let me see here. Okay, so we got that. Any other top 50 lists that you guys want to say? Who did you want to see on? I know we already talked about Pose, or I didn't say anything. Pose, Darnell, and
EJ, Elijah Jones.
Elijah Jones. All three great guys. I just didn't think they were top 50 worthy.
Come on, man.
I know
Pose was the best out of all of us.
Tremendous unit. I had him all the way from freshman, so I'm all the way there.
And here's something I always say. My favorite defensive line unit that I've seen is a 2006 defensive line unit. And I think you guys with really that 2010, 2011 unit that included yourself, Darnell, Posley, and Sheldon Day, that's right there behind them, man. You guys were very special. Very special. And here is what I say sometimes when making a list. See, I looked at the different players or different position groups, I should say, and I say, all right, this guy was one of the best, this guy's one of the best, this guy's one of the best, and so on and so forth. And, you know, you rank them, and it's like, can I put this guy here? Can I put this guy here? And then you look at a list, and you're like, okay, I have this 50 slots. He has to be on. I love him. Can't put him on. And it just goes from there, and it's like, That's really how the top 50 ended up being where the list that we see today. Did I miss on some? Yes, no. Will I tell you who guys who they are? Absolutely not, because I do not want to go into that controversy at all.
You've already been there.
Right. Yeah, I've already been there, yeah, because then it's like people's like, oh, well, you say this guy should have been here. Take him off and make another list. Nope. The one thing that I was disappointed about a little bit from certain people were, you know, everybody knows me and knows I'm not a malicious person. I'm not somebody that wants to just put all their favorites on there.
Of course.
And stuff like that. I try to be as fair as possible. Like I said, guys, if you make the list, you earned it. Your play, whether you played a full season, whether you were a 3-year or 4-year starter, if you made my list, you earned it. And there were some guys that were tearing down other guys that made the list, and I hated to see that so much because we were all teammates, guys. We were all a part of this one big family. Everybody here strapped on the shoulder pads, put on that helmet, and we all represented the black and gold to the best of our abilities. And I didn't like seeing other guys tear each other down. I didn't like a little bit of the pettiness that came out of that. I just didn't like that, so will I do another list? People will ask me. I probably won't ever touch another top 50 list.
Hey, kid, man. That's what happens when ranking people, man. Yeah. People getting their feelings.
Hey, big cojones for doing it, though, kid.
Right.
Yeah. there's only been one other group of guys that do a top 50 list. Did I like their list? Yeah, I liked it. I liked that they had some guys on there. I liked that, hey, their number one and my number one was the same thing, so I know I got something right.
Right.
But you know what? You know, it is what it is. Nothing's going to be perfect. You're not going to please everybody. So I'm just glad it doing it before the season and got so many people involved and interested in the program once again. That was one of the things I really loved there.
Right.
All right, so moving on, and this is the last thing I want to really talk about is I've done 50 shows now with this being my 50th, and then I have – had a lot of great guests on the show so far, and if, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not had opportunity to listen to all the shows I've done so far, I wanted to do a top 10, but as I went through my list here of the shows I've done so far, 10 just isn't enough, so I boosted it up to 15. So coming in, and this is my top 15 best shows or shows that I've done so far. Number 15, episode 27, is my one-on-one conversation with David Bell. And David, just telling his story about, you know, how he came into the program, how he almost didn't be a part of Warren Central football, and then how things could have been drastically changed if that hadn't happened. Just think about where we are now if David Bell had never played at Warren Central.
He wasn't going anywhere.
Well, yeah, that's what you said, you know, but...
That dude didn't even have a ride. He was going nowhere but here, trust me.
But his interview with me was very good, so that comes in at number 15. My 14th favorite show that I've done so far, the game where we win state, I had a lot of fun doing that one, running into different people from various eras, talking to the different Warrior legends and stuff like that, and then just really getting everybody's thoughts about the game so far at that moment. That was a huge moment for me because I had never been able to interact with so many people from various eras up until that point in the show. Like, I'm talking to guys that played in the 90s. I'm talking to guys that played in your era, Chris. It was just really great to have so many guys come back and just really be a part of seeing a team win a state title, man. That's always great to see our guys come home and watch the younger guys. So, number 14, my 14th favorite show is number 15, Champions Again. And then a show that I did that I thought I would get more traction on and people would love, but the episode I did on Dijon, number 36, Dijon Strong, I thought more people would like that episode. It didn't really get as many likes or views as I thought, but I thought it was a really great episode. I talked to Coach Wes, I talked to Coach Mann, as well as bringing up other interviews that I had about from other guests I had on the show about how they felt about Dijon and his life and everything that he was about and their memories with him. I really thought that was going to be an episode that would blow up, but it still is a really good episode there. And then my 12th favorite episode was number four. The fourth episode I did was the episode about our rivalry with Ben Davis. And I mean, I can never talk about that enough. And Chris, I know how you feel about Ben Davis. I talk about your, I think it was 36-0 that you guys beat him right here.
Senior year.
And how great of a game that was.
No much I hate Ben Davis.
Ooh, go ahead, tell me.
Senior year.
Okay.
One of them came up to me and told me that W on your helmet stands for West Side. Never wanted to commit murder more than that day.
Well,
W on your helmet stands for West Side.
Well, luckily for
it
us,
still gets my blood boiling to this day.
We met their West Side at the quarterback a lot of times that night.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have to worry about him too much. But
that was probably one of my better games too, just because he said they shouldn't say it.
You can't talk crazy to you. I mean,
what?
Come on now.
What?
Are you crazy?
I don't understand it. I don't understand.
So
went through a lot of that my senior year. Everybody just really wanted to talk like I was sad.
Just why? Just why? But that episode, because really going deep into the program, if you've not been a part of a Warren Central Ben Davis game before, you'll never understand the passion that the players for both sides have for that game and for that rivalry. And I think that was evident this year. It's been evident in many, many games in the years past. And you know what? The rivalry is definitely alive and well right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely alive and well right now. So that was...
I can't wait to see them again.
Woo! And number 11 here, my 39th episode was my PopCon live stream. It was the first time I was able to do a live show in front of an audience. That was pretty cool. I wish more people had been able to come there. I'm going to do more of those hopefully in the future. But, you know, it really gave me an opportunity to really grow the show amongst a lot of people that weren't familiar with the program, weren't familiar with what I was trying to do and spread our history. And it was a really good show, and I appreciate my guests for coming on with me. Shout out to Will Moore out there. I appreciate you coming on with me that night, man, or that day. I appreciate it. And getting into my top 10 now, my show I did on Coach Pascal. And I don't know, Coach Apple, did you have a relationship with Coach Pascal at all?
Just small. I knew him through the Little League. Not really as much as I'd like.
And I knew when I did this show, a lot of those older guys would love it. But when it blew up, I did not expect it to blow up. I mean, within the first 24 hours, it was my most listened to episode. Like, I had over 200 listens within a week. And it was just like, oh, my God. It was just like, I did not expect so much love, but I'm glad so many people love the episode because Coach Pascal was such a great coach to so many people in the program. So that was very special. So I'm glad that one right there was able to come through very well. Number nine, and this is probably one of my favorite episodes or interviews that I did with a guy, Mr. Football and the Mad Scientist. And Chris, this is the episode I had with Coach Clark here.
Oh, man.
That episode right there, I mean, Coach Clark is the reason why he's basically the reason why I do the show, because I almost was at a point where I did not want to be involved with Warren Athletics or Warren Football at all anymore. That's hard for me. It's hard to believe now as I'm saying that, but Coach Clark, you know, he talked me off a ledge. I was going crazy after we lost to Ben Davis one in 2017, and I was just so upset, and Coach Clark told me just to really stay strong. You know, we got to keep motivating our guys, and really, since that moment, man, I have this. Chris, talk to me about your relationship with Coach Clark and how special he's been for you. Because in my eyes, he's probably one of the three best coaches I've ever been around.
Man, Coach Clark, I wouldn't be the man I am today without Coach Clark, man. Really, really, I was kind of soft coming in here. Coming up my sophomore year, they wanted me to start. So they really put me through the ringer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was him and Coach Price. It really got me through there. Coach Clark has the best resume, D-line resume, of any coach ever in this state.
I mean,
what other D-line coach has this good resume?
I mean, just the number of guys he's put into college, yourself and others around you, it's just crazy. And here's a crazy stat that not a lot of people know. He's had a guy make the All-MIC team every year that he's been a coach.
Every year.
Every year. Here during his time here and at LC and then back here.
Every year.
That's crazy.
And it was about 4 years straight, it was the All-State team.
Yes.
A couple guys 2 years in a row.
Yes.
The All-State team.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Coach Clark was definitely like a second dad to me, man. Spent all my time up here just getting better.
Yeah,
he's the one that taught me my work ethic for real.
And then moving on, my eighth favorite episode is my episode I did with Coach Wright. And I knew when I started the show, he was definitely one of the main guests I wanted to have on. And just like, if you ever had an opportunity to be around Coach Wright during his time here, you know, he changed so much. Like, he completely changed the culture and made us from a program that where it was, okay, can we get to that next level, to we expect to get to that next level. And that's, he just changed so much. Like, we don't have the type of football we love right now if it weren't for Coach Wright. I can't express that enough. So that was my eighth favorite episode. The episode I just did 2-3 weeks ago for this year's Ben Davis game, the episode with Darren Evans, the GOAT running back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was so surprised when he reached out to me and told me, hey, I want to come on this week's show. I want to interview you. I love what you're doing. I was like, great.
Of course.
You won't be on this week's. So I'll save you for a better week. But here, I had to have him on. And he was just so open with me. And he had never been open with me like that before at any level. We were great friends back in high school. But just sitting down and talk with him and talking about his time in college, talking about his time here and what he's been doing since was just beyond good. So if you guys have not heard the episode, listen to number 47, the GOAT running back. And now, number six, my sixth favorite episode is my episode I did on the origin and legacy of the Blood Belts. I can't talk about the Blood Belts enough. You guys know me, defense. I love them to death. And that was my first time I had Coach Tutsy on the show. And that was an episode I just knew when I went to talk about the history of our program, you got to talk about the Blood Belts, and that was definitely one of them.
Kid,
right there.
My sophomore year, first game, I got one of those. I cried.
I believe it.
It was that serious. It was that deep to us.
Well, Coach Tutsy, he gave me one just for being his assistant back in the time. I always wore it every week.
Yep.
Like, it was something, you take pride in something like that, man. Because you're part of something special.
Exactly.
Like, who wants to be a if you don't want to be a starter at Warren Central's defense, what are you working towards here?
What are you doing?
Exactly. And I wish, Jake, I wish you guys the gold belts or something like that that I gave you guys last year. I wish that had more I wish it just carried more the same passion amongst you guys. I wish there was something like, oh man, I'm starting this week, but it's a little bit different for you guys, but you understand where I'm coming from, right?
Oh, definitely. I remember being a ball boy, and I remember being a ball boy and the importance of the blood belt and the pride that the defense had, how much more swag the defense had than the offense. I mean, offense has always got that chip to their shoulder, that swag, but
it's defense, a difference on our side.
Yeah, defense, especially at Warren Central, especially in years past and this year and just in general, is different. It's a whole different level.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So moving on here, and this is where my top five favorite episodes right here, the Warrior Speech, number five. I mean, Chris, you know Warrior Speech. Coach Apple. We all know the Warrior Speech here and how, like, every 100 men they send me, 80 of them.
Nothing but targets.
10 of them.
Shouldn't even be here.
Of the 10 to the left.
9 of them.
Are real fighters.
All but one. One of them is a warrior.
And I must find him.
For he will bring the others back. See, I'm about to run through it all right now.
Like, you know, my favorite line of that is,
what was that,
those
coach?
Who stand where you stand, like
where you
stand,
and for
what you stand. That was what was inside that locker room every night when we did that. That's who was standing with me.
Exactly.
Was the guys with us. That's who we worked with all week. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't a part of that, shame on you.
It puts chills through my body right now just hearing that little the little piece. And when you hear the intro to it and everybody silent. If you were talking before, everybody's silent.
Silence.
And then everybody starts saying the words as the video goes on.
That way, you scrambling many times and visiting locker rooms trying to find outlets to plug in. Yep. We watched it on lockers. We watched it on walls. We watched it wherever we could.
You really didn't need to. As long as you heard it is all that matter. As long as you heard it, that's all that matter, because it just gets you in that right mind frame and mindset.
I was a whole nother person after the Warriors speech.
Yes.
I also remember the first time I ever saw it. I also remember the first time we were at Lucas Oil. I think it was Harley's senior year going against Carmel. At Lucas Oil, and I was a ball boy that game. I just remember watching how fired up that got everybody. And
oh man.
Man, it got me excited as an 8-year-old ball boy.
Yeah, I mean, if other programs just don't have that
at all.
They just don't have. I mean, you played at Virginia Tech. Did you guys have anything like that at that level before a game?
You know, it's the Inner Sandman.
But that's different though. I mean, that's an entrance going onto the field, but you don't have anything like that where you guys are all tuned in to this speech that gets you geared up for a game.
No, it's nothing like that. No, it was nothing like that.
Same speech every week, never changed.
Never changed.
I mean, you don't need. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I had to bring it back. We the D line, we watch it before every game. We in the room. Yeah, we watch it.
Good for you.
I know Malcolm brought it back. I know.
And I'm glad I put it out there on YouTube, and I have the audio of it as well.
To it on with all them views that you, you got. It was from us.
I don't ever want that to disappear from our program.
You can't.
I never.
I won't let it. I know that.
I've tried to get the individual on the show. He just declined for various reasons, and I can understand that. But I just want to, like, personally thank him for just that, because that was our. We're about to go to battle here. We're listening to your words here before we go to battle.
Yep.
So that drove us for so long to so many victories, man.
Yep.
This is, I can't say nothing more about it. My fourth favorite episode now here, and I miss this guy so much, and I really hate that he's gone, but the episode I did with Coach Willen.
Oh, yeah.
I see his picture with me. I see this random picture, and like, oh, man, I miss Coach Willen.
Coach Willen was my first D-line coach. I didn't play D-line up until freshman year. First D-line coach. Taught me everything, man. Always, and taught me in track.
Really?
Shot put.
Mm.
Yeah, man. Coach Wilner was the greatest.
He taught me preparation. I remember the first day I showed up without a practice plan as the head coach. He agreed with Coach Hart to stay around at least one more year to help the young kid out as the head coach. So I think Coach Hart probably made him, begged him to stay and watch me. But I remember the first day I showed up at summer camp. I didn't have a practice plan. He goes, "What are we doing today, Coach Apple?" I said, "Well," he goes, "you got it on paper? Do I have a copy of it? Don't come to practice again without a plan." It's just being responsible.
And it's something you still do today, I bet.
Every day. Every day I get sent out every day during my prep to the middle school. Still, you got to be prepared. It's the little things. He was very, very particular about the little things.
Yep.
And when I first got here, I wasn't. But now I credit him for that. I'm very detail-oriented as a coach and as a human being, and I owe that all to Coach Willen.
And I just think of, you know, before a game, Coach Tutsi would go through his, you know, keys to the game and stuff like that, and then he would always say, "Coach Willen, bring us home." And then Coach Willen would have the whole defense together, and he would say a prayer for us and speak to the defensive players that were there. And it was just like those moments you don't want to say you take for granted, but, man, I would just love to have him, you know, this one last time, man. And just sitting down with him that last couple days that he was with us and talking with him, I'll remember that moment for as long as I live. Jake, do you have a story or anything like that you want to say on Coach Willen?
Yeah, he really taught me the Warrior way ever since I was little. I never really, when I first started being that ball boy at like 7 years old, I didn't really know who he was, but I quickly learned who he was. And he really gave me that passion for Warren and for the East Side, like I know he has for many others. And all throughout my high school career, I was like, man, he's got to stay through my senior, has to stay through my senior. I understand he's getting older, but he has to stay through my senior.
Yeah.
And sadly, he passed on. But ever since I was a sophomore, he was there when I got my first start, and he gave me some words of encouragement. He said, "What you're doing now, not many others have done, and what you do will embody what those who have come before you have done." And ever since then, I really just play those words back in my head before every game, and it still rings true to this day about the importance of what that dub means and what the East Side is.
Yeah, you can never say enough about the importance of he was to our program. So I was glad I had the opportunity to actually have a long, thorough interview with him, because when they put out the video and it was only like 10, 15 minutes of him talking about, you know, his time here, I was like, this guy deserves a full feature-length two-hour movie done on him. Like,
right.
It wasn't even nearly as long enough. And so the hour or so I was able to sit down with him, that was perfect for me. So
you're not going to see that ever again, somebody being at one place for 50.
For 50 years.
Hey, peg down.
Peg down.
Exactly. Exactly. And now my top three shows, of course, the 3 and 2 were the two episodes I did on the top 50 list, and I could go on and on and on about that, but we already covered that. But my favorite episode that I did was actually an episode I did this season as well. It was actually last week's show, and I very rarely will listen to an episode 2 or 3 times. And here we're in the school here where it's the end of the day. You guys are looking around like, what's going on? Very rarely will I listen to an episode 2 or 3 times, but last week's episode that I had with a former teammate, Jacob McLaurin, entitled Warriors in Faith, I probably listened to that episode 5 or 6 times already, and it's just having him talk to how the culture of our program was during his time, his faith in God, and everything that he's been through in our program and stuff like that, and this really goes to show, you know, how a guy can come to a program and not really play at any level, or not really at any level, but not be seen as a top player and really mold himself into being a top player and being one of those great offensive linemen that we've had here in program history. it was absolutely remarkable. And the way he tells stories and the way he crafts the images, you just vividly imagine him reach blocking a guy from North Central, and then the guy's coach saying, "Hey, stop having that guy reach you," and him saying, "Man, he can't see me." And just having that coach, you know, dog him out, him laughing at their faces as he walks back off the field and stuff like that. So that one right there is one of my favorite episodes. And one of the things I've done so far with this show that I'm still wanting to do more of, I want to get t-shirts made. I want to get hats. I got a t-shirt on right now. It didn't really come out great. The Blood Belt shirts that I had, the design that I had made and posters, I was disappointed. I haven't had an opportunity to get those out to people because they are so, so expensive, man. Getting t-shirts designed and made is so expensive. And me,
you might make that back, man. That Blood Belt design, I loved it.
Yeah, you might make
that bag.
And here's
good investment.
And here's the thing, like, it would take for me to get that on a shirt, Chris. I would probably have to sell the shirt for $50.
Oh, well,
exactly.
Okay, well.
And you know what? I said to myself,
easy, Kanye, easy.
You're right. I said I would probably, I would cut out if I save up the money, get the shirts made, I'll just take a loss and sell them for $30, and that'll be it. And then I'll just do posters and stickers. Right. But I got to get those shirts out to people because that design was so good. But this guy that designed it for me, he did a fantastic job, and I had to come up with a second design.
I'll pay you for it.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. But I look forward to seeing what the next 50 episodes has for me. I appreciate all you guys on here. Jake, go out there and kick some butt tomorrow night. Coach Apple, congrats on this season. I wish you best of luck going forward. Chris, hey, you know, I've always loved you, man. I appreciate you, dog.
Definitely,
one
definitely.
One of my all-time favorites. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you just listened to another great episode of True Air Football. I'm your host, Cordy Kid Smith. Word Ben, take us away.